Pistons, your daily Detroit Pistons podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Hello and welcome to the Locked On Pistons podcast. This is your host, Matt Shook, and we are here for the podcast episode on Friday, November 10th. The Pistons are 8-3 and playing another couple of home games this weekend in downtown Detroit. We'll tell you all about that as the episode moves on today. But first, I want to thank all you guys for listening and all your support. It's been a little over a month that I've been taking over the Locked On Pistons podcast. I've been a fan of the Pistons my entire life, and it's been great connecting with this team that's been playing some pretty inspiring basketball so far this year. In fact, in just over a couple of days, the last few days, I've had listeners reach out to me from Kuwait, from Australia, from England, and I just want to thank you guys. That means a lot, and the numbers are going up. We switched over to the Megaphone platform. You guys have helped out with that seamlessly. We've done the Draft app and Draft.com promotion that's gone well, and it's just meant a lot to me that everyone's kind of stepped up and been hearing from some fans on Twitter that I don't know personally that, of course, it's nice to strike up those kind of interactions as well, and I appreciate that. Keep all the feedback of the podcast coming, Piston talk in general, ideas for topics that we can tackle on the show, possible guests that we can have down the line. I'm excited for a few more that we've got lined up down the road and other commitments as well. I'm heading to the Pistons game next week on Wednesday against the Milwaukee Bucks. I'm excited to check out that matchup with Eric Bledsoe and the new look Milwaukee Bucks there, but just been a great opportunity so far for me, so I want to thank everyone there. If you want to get in on more of the interactions, you can find me on Twitter at @Matt_Shook, S-C-H-O-C-H, and then another underscore after that. I've also got a Facebook journalist page that you can follow at Matt, S-C-H-O-C-H, Shook there. And you can just friend me on Facebook on my personal account. Of course, I wouldn't turn down anyone on something like that as well. And then we also have the Locked On Pistons Twitter account that I've recently taken over from the old host, Duncan Smith. That's just at Locked On Pistons on Twitter. So go ahead and follow that as well, as we'll be building it up there more over time as well. So let's get to the Pistons before I break down in tears here over how things are going with the podcast. But the Pistons will be in action tonight against the Atlanta Hawks at 7 o'clock Eastern at Little Caesars Arena in downtown Detroit. The Pistons are 8.5-point favorites against the Hawks, who are 2-9 coming into the game, only better than the Dallas Mavericks in the NBA standings as I record this, although there's a chance that if the Sacramento Kings fall to Philly tonight that they'll also be 2-9 before Thursday night's late slate is given a wrap. So Pistons will be heavily favored on Friday night against the Hawks. And then on Sunday, they're going to be hosting the Miami Heat for a 4 o'clock game. The Heat are 5-6 this year, kind of an up-and-down start for them as well. We're going to talk extensively about both of those teams, the Heat and the Hawks, as you can get ready for action this weekend and be the most knowledgeable fan at the party that you're watching it, at the downstairs man cave gathering, or if you're in the section at Little Caesars Arena watching live, you can kind of know exactly what to be watching for from these teams, Eastern Conference rivals, this weekend. The Pistons will then go on the road this weekend, or next week, I'm sorry, and like I said, Wednesday, the game that I'll be at the Bradley Center in Milwaukee, taking on the Bucks. Friday night, going to be in Indiana, and then Sunday night, at Minnesota. All three of those teams the Pistons already have wins against, so those home teams will certainly be targeting the Pistons for the return matchups there. And then after that Sunday night game at Minnesota, they're going to be back in Detroit for a back-to-back against LeBron James and the Cleveland Cavaliers. And then that week it only gets tougher as it's Oklahoma City and Boston. So I bring up that and go a little bit deeper into the schedules to suggest that some tough times might be coming for the Pistons, some really tough teams. So making this weekend's games against Atlanta and Miami, although a 5-0 homestand is certainly more than you could ever ask for as it's undefeated, but you really got to take care of business in some of these games that you're favored and should be able to win, because there's some tough sledding ahead for Stan Van Gundy's team. But wanted to get to a bit of some news from today on Thursday that was announced. I live out here in Chicago, and this was big news around here. That there's nothing much to cheer for NBA fans in Chicago these days is the Bulls, along with Atlanta and maybe one or two other teams, represent the bottom echelon of the NBA right now. But it was announced today that the 2020 NBA All-Star Game will be headed to the United Center in Chicago. They're actually going to have a press conference about this on Friday as you're listening to this, but word got out and was reported in the media today that the All-Star Game in 2020 is headed to Chicago. This year's All-Star Game in February is going to be in Los Angeles at Staples Center, and then next year they're going to be playing in Charlotte in 2019, and then, like I said, Chicago in 2020 after that. Of course, this is relevant because the Pistons opening Little Caesars Arena could be candidates to host the All-Star Game, maybe going forward sometime after that. It's not exactly like the NFL where Roger Goodell kind of holds fans and cities and owners and states hostage by, you go ahead and build that new stadium and we'll bring the Super Bowl there. But it's kind of like that in some ways, in that the new stadiums sometimes get preference in those All-Star Game situations. And of course, it's not just the All-Star Game. It's All-Star Weekend. They have the dunk contest and the three-point shootout, All-Star Saturday, and the rookie-sophomore game on Friday as well. But then there's a G League game that you can have at an alternate site somewhere, in the same city. There's all sorts of festivals and concerts as well. So it'd be a nice thing for downtown Detroit if it ever comes sometime in the next few years. But the Pistons and the Detroit Little Caesars Arena have officially bid for the 2020 game and got turned down, and also for the 2021 game, but they are not alone. Indiana did a big thing in the spring where they kind of had a public bid delivery in New York City for the 2021 game, so they're really angling for that. The Golden State Warriors, who are going to be moving from Oakland to San Francisco for a 2019 opening, they've also bid for that 2021 game. Cleveland has been courting the 2020 and 2021 game, along with Detroit, Milwaukee, Orlando, and Houston. So all those teams and cities are kind of in the running for the 2021 All-Star Game going forward. So, you know, it's something interesting to keep an eye on. I'm sure that the NBA will have the All-Star Game in Little Caesars Arena sometime. It probably won't be in 2021, given that there's so many other candidates as well. But, you know, you can picture sometime in the next decade that NBA All-Star Weekend will be coming to cold, cold Detroit City sometime in February, like I said, in the 2020s somewhere. So something to be excited for and keep your mind on in the future, that this could be coming down the pike. But, you know, don't keep your hopes up for 2021. Don't clear your calendar for February of 2021 quite yet. But just some facts about Detroit and the Palace and the Pistons and Little Caesars Arena. Chicago, that, like I said, was awarded the 2020 All-Star Game. They last hosted it in 1988, and that's before the Pistons franchise, after the Pistons franchise has last hosted it. In 1988, the Bulls had it in Chicago Stadium. The Palace of Auburn Hills never did host NBA All-Star Weekend, which, like I said, it's not exactly like the NFL where they kind of hold new stadiums in hostage, and once you get them, you get that All-Star Game. But the Pontiac Silverdome, before my time, did host NBA All-Star Weekend. That was in 1979 in the city of Pontiac in the county of Oakland County. Bob Lanier was the only Piston that played in that game in 1979. He played alongside Julius Erving and George Gervin in what should have been an epically entertaining All-Star Game to have those guys. Of course, George Gervin, and a local guy who played at Eastern Michigan as well. So, and that's not it. The city of Detroit also did host the NBA All-Star Game. And, of course, many of you remember that. That was back in 1959. But I'm not telling you guys anything you didn't already know. 1959 at old Olympia Arena, where the Pistons used to play, and the Red Wings as well. Elgin Baylor and Bob Pettit were the shared MVPs of that game. I know you guys all remember this, so it's not like I'm telling you anything you don't already know. But the Pistons were represented by three players in 1959 for that game. It was Gene Shue, Dick McGuire, and George Yardley. So next time that question comes up when you guys are drinking beers with your friends this weekend about, has the city of Detroit ever hosted the All-Star Game? You can know that they actually did in 1959, and you can pull out that trivia question out of your butt and say, Gene Shue, Dick McGuire, and George Yardley. Heck yeah, they played for the Pistons back when they were in the Western Conference, and they played for the All-Stars representing the Pistons way back then. So but we're going to get back to reality and back to the current Pistons and talk a little bit about the Atlanta Hawks and Miami Heat so that you can get ready for this weekend.
Yes, sir!
Now, before we get to the Atlanta Hawks, the Friday night opponent at Little Caesars Arena against the Pistons, I wanted to give a quick plug, just in case if you know of any local businesses in the Detroit area or any businesses maybe nationwide that might want to support the podcast as far as being an advertiser, please get in touch with me at matt_schoch@yahoo.com. We have different advertising packages, and I'll probably just refer you to the National Locked On Network if you want to work out a deal there. But, you know, we got the Locked On podcast shows for every NBA team and every NFL team, but we're looking for some local advertising for Locked On Pistons as well. So we got a lot of nice listener base of the coveted 25 to 54 males, a lot of listeners as well. So if you're interested in getting the word out about your business or your service, just let me know on Twitter or through email, and we can maybe try to work something out. So just wanted to give a quick plug to that as well. But moving on to the Hawks, Atlanta, they won the opener this season, but then they went ahead and lost 8 in a row. They then beat Cleveland and LeBron James somehow, and then lost on Monday to the Boston Celtics, who have been running through the NBA, and was a tight game. So Coach Mike Budenholzer has the Hawks playing well as of late, and they're going to be plenty rested as they haven't played since that Monday night game. So about four nights off there for the Hawks to get ready for the Pistons. They had a nice upward trajectory. Coach Mike Budenholzer came over from the San Antonio Spurs a few years back, where he was one of the lieutenants of Greg Popovich there, and took over the executive and coaching roles in Atlanta over time as he kind of played his power of the Spurs to get a nice little deal over there. But this past offseason, the new ownership has relegated Coach Budenholzer to just be Coach Bud, and now he's no longer involved in front office decisions. And meanwhile, Atlanta's going ahead with the youth movement as they've, after making the playoffs the last couple years, they made some moves and lost some veteran players. They traded Dwight Howard to the Charlotte Hornets in the offseason. They lost Paul Millsap in free agency, the Denver Nuggets. They lost Tim Hardaway Jr. to the Knicks. Kyle Korver was traded during the season last year to the Cleveland Cavaliers. So this is a young team in full rebuild mode. And leading the way right now, kind of the only holdover from that group was the young point guard, Dennis Schroeder, who is a German, and he's kind of been leading the way for the team right now. He's scoring over 20 a game, and just kind of the veteran presence, even though he was kind of the young guy in that group that made the playoffs and had some strong seasons these last couple of years. Also leading the way in the starting lineup are some impact players like Kent Bazemore, who plays on the wing, and Dwayne Dedman, who played with the Spurs last year. He's the starting center for Atlanta. Like I said, just not a very good team. They don't have a lot of good NBA talent, and the Pistons, obviously 8.5-point favorites, should be really primed for hopefully their another win and moving to 9-3 in the season. But we'll see about that on Friday night. The most interesting part about the Atlanta Hawks, if you're watching as an NBA fan, is rookie John Collins of Wake Forest, who is the 19th pick in the draft. Now, leading up to the draft, John Collins was a name that was linked with the Pistons at times. With, of course, the Pistons ended up going with Luke Kennard instead. But John Collins was a name that was one of those teen picks that might be falling in the Pistons' lap, but they did not select him. So a name to keep an eye on, and he'll be tied with Luke Kennard in that draft class throughout his career as well. He's the most intriguing player, John Collins is, for Atlanta. He's 6'10". Do a search for him on Twitter. You'll find some of the dunks he's had in the preseason and the early season. He's really getting Atlanta fans pretty excited. So some hope for the future there with John Collins, and you can see maybe on Friday night why fans are so excited about his future and his progression as kind of a cornerstone of the next era of Atlanta Hawks basketball. There's also an old friend, although he will not be in uniform or will not be playing on Friday night, as Ersan Ilyasova is injured. He played with the Pistons a couple years back, and they traded him in 2016 along with Brandon Jennings for Tobias Harris to the Orlando Magic. Now, since that trade in 2016, which of course was just last year, two seasons ago, so not that long ago, Ersan has played not only for Orlando, that's the Pistons traded him to, but he's played for the Oklahoma City Thunder, he's played for the Philadelphia 76ers, and now he's in Atlanta with the Hawks. So even though he's pretty well regarded around the NBA as a power forward, kind of a stretch four who can knock down those shots, he's been moved around quite a bit. So Ersan, maybe he'll make the trip to Little Caesars Arena and be in the suit on Friday night. Not sure if he will or not, but not one of those names that will be heavily thought of in Pistons lore as the years go on by, but an old friend will be visiting Little Caesars Arena with his new team taking on his old mates. Moving on to Sunday afternoon's Pistons game, the Miami Heat. Here's a little rundown of everything you need to know about the Heat. Still run by Pat Riley as the organizational head. I want to refer you guys to a Wright Thompson ESPN The Magazine article in April called Pat Riley's Final Test. If you've got some time to get a long-form piece digested, it's a really nice look at Pat Riley's career and his restlessness as his career kind of comes to an end. The ultimate takeaway from the article is it's pretty sweet to be Pat Riley, but Wright Thompson, the outstanding writer, feature writer for ESPN, gave him the treatment in the spring, and you should check that out if you get a few minutes to kill over the weekend. But the Heat will be coming in playing the Pistons in the last game of a six-game road trip, and after we tape this podcast, they'll be playing Friday night in Utah before the game in Detroit at 4 o'clock on Sunday afternoon. This trip has seen them go from Denver to Los Angeles to Oakland to Phoenix to Salt Lake and then to Detroit. So it's been a tough one for the Heat living out of suitcases. Sometimes it's nice to think about those kind of things. As I got to know beat writers throughout my writing career, I never really worked as a traveling beat writer for any team, so I hadn't really experienced it myself. But getting to know some of these beat writers and the life that they have to go through with hotels and traveling and all those things. I know that the first class travel and hotels that the players have is a little bit different, or a lot different than some of the media accommodations. But just thinking about what these guys go through throughout the course of a 162 game baseball season or an 82 game and multiple months long football or hockey or basketball season is interesting to think about. So the Heat are kind of coming in on one of these tough road trips where they've been all over the country for a couple of weeks. So they are led by Goran Dragic, the point guard, and a center, Hassan Whiteside. Whiteside missed a few games with a knee injury recently. Dragic is trying to become an all-star for the first time in his career. So he's kind of maybe trying to take that next step as the leader of a playoff team. Deion Waiters is one of their best players. He's back with the team now. He was back on Wednesday after missing a few games for the birth of his daughter. Just an instant offense kind of guy who took the team by storm last season late in the year. James Johnson is an athletic player who's turned into an important one for Coach Eric Spoelstra and the Heat. And Kelly Olynyk was their big offseason pickup after he had a strong postseason for Boston last year. He cashed in and got a nice contract to take his talents down to South Beach. Another one that Pistons keep an eye on is Justice Winslow. He comes off the bench. He actually started for the first time the other night this season, but he's been tied to Stanley Johnson as a player that the Pistons fans could have had in that draft a couple years back instead of Stanley. But he's kind of really struggled after a strong maybe start to his rookie season with Miami. He's been one of the worst offensive players in basketball as far as regular contributors for teams. So Winslow's a guy that the Pistons fans maybe unnecessarily wanted as part of the team a couple years ago. But the Heat were a really nice story in the second half of last season. They were one of the worst teams in the league in the first half of last year, but Deion Waiters and Dragic really flourished as the season went on and took them from being one of the worst teams in the league to being in playoff contention right up until the last night of the season when the Chicago Bulls edged them for the eighth spot in the Eastern Conference playoffs. But I mentioned Coach Spoelstra. Ever since LeBron James and those guys left, he's really proven his bona fides as one of the league's best coaches. He's respected, really kind of right under the Greg Popovich, Steve Kerr, you know, upper echelon of coaches. He might be on that next wave of respected coaches right under those guys as far as, you know, top five coaches in the league or something like that. Udonis Haslem is still coming off the bench for that team, getting spot minutes. He's 37 years old. Hard to believe, and he's a guy that Pistons fans are very familiar with as well. Derek Walton Jr. is a member of the Miami Heat roster as well. The former Michigan point guard has played 1 minute of one game in his rookie season. He was picked up after the draft. He went undrafted, but Orlando picked him up after the draft in a free agent pickup. But he played summer league with Orlando, played pretty well, and there were some thoughts that he might make the roster for the Orlando Magic, but he actually did not, as they went with Shelvin Mack as a free agent pickup for their third point guard instead. Cut loose Walton, who was picked up by the Heat in a two-way contract, but he's been with the big club as of recently. So that's kind of all you need to know about the Miami Heat. The Pistons will be going into that one as favorites, and a team coming off of a tough road trip with some big stars. And coming into the season, it was kind of thought that the Pistons and Heat were right on the same level as teams that were might be competing for that bottom few spots in the Eastern Conference playoff race. But with this strong start, the Pistons have maybe elevated themselves in the national conversation to maybe a tier or so, or maybe a half a tier above Miami. Although there's a lot of people who are really optimistic on Miami's fortunes this year and kind of see them as maybe that middle of the Eastern Conference playoff pack. So this could be a team that ends up being a playoff foe in the future, and Pistons fans know all about this team from playoff matchups in the past as well. Think Shaq and Dwayne Wade, or even back when the Pistons used to play Alonzo Mourning and them with Grant Hill back in the day as well. So a team that, and a guy in Pat Riley that the Pistons fans are very familiar with his days with Los Angeles, the Lakers back in the Bad Boys days, the New York Knicks, moving on after that, and then his time as a coach and now president with the Miami Heat. So a team coming in here on Sunday that is one of the more, you know, banner franchises of the NBA, a team that could pull a couple of free agents at any time with the South Beach allure and maybe return to some of the glory days as well. But for now, a playoff team that's really hoping to move up in the NBA pecking order, just like the Pistons are, and it should make for an interesting cap to the weekend and the five-game homestand as well. But Pistons fans are optimistic about another nice weekend ahead, as they should be, and we'll see how it all shakes out, and we'll talk about it on Monday morning's podcast after we watch the weekend games and see how the Pistons do and if they can continue their winning ways. But I want to thank you guys for listening, and enjoy the weekend games, everyone.